This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. In this day when we're all walking around with tiny computers or smartphones in our pockets and bags, issue advocacy looks a little different than it did just a few years ago. We can send a message about or even directly to our elected officials and reach thousands of followers via social media. We can fire off an email from just about anywhere. We can upload a video right from the farm field. Much like the invention of the automobile, the rise of the smartphone and mobile tablet is significant, not because of how the devices are made or how they actually work, so much as the impact they've had on us and how we live and work. It is extremely helpful for an advocacy organization such as Farm Bureau to have more ways for members to engage with policymakers. However, come August, we are reminded of the advantages of face-to-face engagement. Congress is in recess until after Labor Day. Local, state, and national politicians are making appearances at farm shows and fairs. August presents opportunities to engage in some old-fashioned handshaking and in-person conversation about the importance of American agriculture to our nation and, therefore, the importance of enacting policies to strengthen agriculture's ability to thrive. August is a key time to engage with members of Congress, in particular as they will return to Washington in September with only a few days remaining on this year's legislative calendar. Whether you're 22 or 82, and whether you prefer to tweet or meet your elected local officials, I hope you will take every opportunity to advocate for agriculture during August. If you need information or guidance on what to say, reach out to Farm Bureau and we'll get you what you need. Or just visit our various websites, perhaps from that mobile device, at fb.org for the AFBF or at ilfb.org for Illinois Farm Bureau and click the Issues tabs to find a wealth of information resources. August is a prime time for agricultural advocacy, and with so many ways of advocating, there is no excuse for sitting on the sidelines. The Senate Environment and Public Works Committee is slated to consider the Sensible Environmental Protection Act, or S-1500, and the legislation will clarify that lawful applications of pesticides regulated under the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act are not subject to permitting under the Clean Water Act. Federal law requires that the Environmental Protection Agency evaluate pesticides and label them for proper use before they go onto the market. The evaluation process is comprehensive and includes potential impacts on water quality. Requiring an MPDES permit for the lawful application of pesticides is made even more problematic by EPA's overly broad Waters of the U.S. rule. Taken together, these two issues create significant liabilities for farmers and ranchers. It also wastes the time and money of state and federal workers tasked with processing permits. The American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture has awarded 15 $500 mini-grants to communities across the nation. The grants are awarded through the Foundation's White Reinhardt Fund for Education program. The grants are allocated through county and state farm bureaus and are used to create new agricultural literacy projects or expand existing agricultural literacy efforts. A cache of internal memos that federal regulators intended to keep private reveals a culture of secrecy, falsehood, and dysfunction that permeated the Waters of the U.S. rulemaking process. On Thursday, the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform released more than 500 pages of documents in which the Army Corps of Engineers repeatedly rebuked EPA officials for their abuse of the rulemaking process in producing the deeply controversial Waters of the United States rule. The entire economic analysis used to support the rule, Army Corps officials wrote, had no basis in either science or economics. It is clear from the memos that there were dire concerns internally that EPA was getting it wrong and with a high degree of arrogance, according to AFBF President Bob Stallman in a statement. The flawed economic study is just the tip of the iceberg, and it was known internally that trouble was ahead. In fact, the memos themselves were stamped litigation sensitive. They were never intended to see the light of day. After the Senate approved its long-term highway bill, H.R. 22, the Developing a Reliable and Innovative Vision for the Economy, or DRIVE Act, on a 65-34 vote. Senators also agreed to a three-month extension of highway programs passed by the House. The three-month transportation patch authorizes programs until October 29th. The extension is needed for the House to pass its multi-year bill and conference with the Senate. Farm Bureau is continuing to work with members and committee staff to ensure our priorities are included in the House's long-term bill. With prices for corn, soybeans, and wheat down from recent years, farm incomes across the Midwest are falling to new lows. A recent report by University of Illinois Professor Gary Schnitke shows that these new lows being felt by grain farmers will have a ripple effect through the ag industry. Dr. Bob Young, chief economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, said in a Newsline article that we can expect this downturn of farm incomes to continue in the years ahead. Cyclists will travel through a three-county area of East Central Illinois during the 20th Annual Illinois Agriculture in the Classroom, or IAITC, bike ride. This cross-country style ride, September 7th through 10th, is an annual fundraiser hosted by the IAA Foundation to support Illinois Agriculture in the Classroom program. The ride has enjoyed a rich history and will conclude its tenure with this year's event. This IAITC bike ride finale year highlights routes through Champaign, Ford, and Vermilion counties with lodging in the Champaign area. Riders can participate for one or multiple days and can choose from routes that run approximately 40 or 80 miles. Vehicle road support and safely scouted, marked routes are planned. Participation is flexible. Desired riding speed averages 12 to 15 miles per hour. Along the bike route, cyclists stop at schools where fun, interactive student assemblies are held. Cyclists and IAITC staff and volunteers tell students the important story of agriculture. Equally important, students are reminded about bicycle safety from this group of professionals. Evenings are spent experiencing local sights, family farms, and hearty meals. The IAA Foundation is now taking registrations to participate in this year's event with registration discounts for riders who raise funds for IAITC. Raising $1,000 or more earns a free full ride. Raising $500 earns a 50% discount on registration and a free book pack. And those who raise $250 receive a 25% discount on registration. More details on event registration and how to raise funds to support your ride are available online at www.iaafoundation.org or by calling Jennifer Smith, Program Manager of the IAA Foundation, at 309-557-2230. IAITC is dedicated to teaching students the role that farmers and agriculture plays in our everyday lives. Participation in events like the IAITC bike ride help raise funds to continue agriculture literacy programs and provide free resources to teachers in the classroom. IAITC is the top funding priority of the IAA Foundation, Illinois Farm Bureau's charitable foundation, which funds educational, research, and charitable activities that benefit Illinois farm families and agriculture. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.